are the love, we aren't. There are the love, we aren't. There are the love, I got. You told me in a real husband, and nobody can break this band. Hold me with a magic wand, and you hold me with understanding. Can't stop seeing, cause I'm so happy. Say you're coming at me life for you and me wife. My ex could never step in on your shoes, Louis leather. It's giving forever. And I love the way I move when you move. And you brighten my life like the summertime, keeping me warm in the wintertime. And you brighten my life like the summertime. Living my life, I'm well good. Bad man, girl, not like you. One bag of lies never tell you. No, make them stress you. There are the love we aren't. There are the love we aren't. There are the love we aren't. There are the love we are. Living my life, I'm well good. Bad man, girl, not like you. One bag of lies never tell you. No, make them stress you. There are the love we aren't. There are the love we aren't. There are the love we aren't. There are the love.
Did you know you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio?
That's KFAA, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or online at kfaa.org.
Well, you are.
Yeah, I knew that.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
I'm just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act like my ex got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending I'm blood condoms in the red? Got a travel ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
You happy Friday. Welcome to Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud, and I am so excited for our conversation today. We have a guest in the studio, and we have just been chatting, and it's really good sound bites, and I decided to push the button to record because it's good. But I have a friend, and I was thinking about the first time I met this gentleman, and it was, gosh, I don't know, I think Zico, I keep my firstborn was really young, and we attended a Ojibwe language table at Tilly Beans at the coffee shop, and that was over on 42nd. And I remember, I think there was one or two other folks learning Ojibwe, but that was, I don't know, how many years ago was that?
We're into decades.
That was
decades.
Well, I will.
Fond memories, nevertheless.
Yes, I that was one of my favorite coffee shops. And that was really, I think, the first time I attended a language table in a coffee shop, but it wasn't the last. So I think that was a good model. But I'll let my guest introduce himself, and I'll just be quiet for a second.
Oh. Aho, buju indenoi malkinadok, hanin, kage gabo indigenikas, make a knock and do dim, make a knock waju wing and dunjaba, besho gakaba kong and danungom, wapijigomi gwech bisindawiag, and that was a traditional Ojibwe protocol greeting. I said, hello, all of my relatives. My name is Kage Gabo. I'm also James Vukulich. I'm a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Ojibwe. I'm Turtle Clan, and I'm so happy to be here. I wanted to thank you all for listening. Miigwech, and miigwech, gaitabik.
Miigwech. So it's an honor. I'm starstruck? I'm starstruck over here. It's so funny, too, because James and I worked at Minneapolis Indian Education for I don't even know how many years it was. I know I was there a total of about 8 years. And we did different consulting and contracts and different projects. So I attended the language table regularly that you had hosted with Chante Maza. So I learned quite a bit from you in that time. And it was very profound. I remember it was like the dead of winter and we would meet and, you know, it would be dark. But all the teachings that we walked away with were just so enlightening, and it brought me warmth in my heart and my spirit because it connected me to the ancestors. And I just, that's how I remember engaging with you.
The fondest memories for me, when I think back to those times, they were magic. They really were. To hear you describe them that way, they were that way for me too, because it was the first time in Minneapolis you had both Dakotas and Ojibwes in the same room at a school. Called the Anishinaabe Academy, sharing the teachings at the same time you would traditionally, for literally thousands of years, getting people together with tea, with snacks, with visiting, with smiles. And then to hear, you know, both the profound knowledge that you can find within both the Ojibwe and Dakota language. Mm-hmm. And so that we had that time to share with each other. It's one of my fondest memories of that entire period in my life. Was the language tables.
And it was, sometimes it was like the only thing that was very positive in my week. Not that it wasn't, you know, I was just, you know, when you are at different levels of trauma, I think your mind, you know, you kind of put yourself through some stuff. But, you know, attending those language tables, and sometimes I'd be so exhausted and I'm like, okay. And then I would feel so much better walking out of there.
Just to get yourself in the room, because that's it. I mean, I think all of us, you work in Indian education or you're a native having the urban indigenous experience, it can be exhausting. But somehow there is medicine, there's healing in just hanging out with the people and just being by and even just hearing the language.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's such a simple solution to just visit.
Indeed.
And it's all you really, your spirit needs. And then you're ready to take on the week or even just take on the rest of your life sometimes, because we weren't, you know, that time, it was like maybe 2 or 3 years. But, you know, I think it, you know, after it kind of faded away, I'm like, I didn't realize that was something I needed so much. And I think in the moment you kind of take it for granted because you're like, yeah, I'm here and this is amazing and I feel great. And then you don't realize until you're kind of, there's a little bit of distance, how much healing had taken place and how evolved you became because of that time. So miigwech for all that.
Oh, miigwech bisindawi, and thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. That was, because sometimes it would be a smaller group, but that was kind of all we needed at the time. And it was a really magical experience. It was a really important one in the history of, I think, like Minneapolis public schools, the city of Minneapolis getting two groups who have a pretty long and complicated history at times, getting them together. And yeah, I'm incredibly proud of those times in my life, in my career at Minneapolis public schools, and hanging out with the cool kids in Indian education like you.
That was so fun. And it was crazy because there was a different combination of people. And, you know, and then when you go around in the community now and you kind of see them and you're like, oh, man, there's like a camaraderie and a connection because you've learned these things together. And you know, that's how I feel about you and Chante Maza. And I just think about all those. I just think about the ancestors and the medicines and everything. So that's what the language brings and how powerful it is. So, James, I want to know some, I have questions for you. So you are, I called you an influencer and just kind of came out. Is there, what drew you to the language in the first place and how did you set off onto this journey?
In the very beginning, it was almost accidental. I was a French student. I had moved to Quebec. I lived in Canada for a year, did French immersion, came back, and had every intention of becoming a French teacher. I'd moved to another country to learn another language. And it happened one year. I needed to take another course to get my financial aid package. And I saw Ojibwe was being offered. Now, I've studied French, Italian, even some Latin. And when I saw Ojibwe, I thought, well, my mother's Ojibwe. My grandmother's Ojibwe. I've studied these other languages. My father's Croatian, so I wouldn't have heard Ojibwe from him. And I thought, well, I can always go to Hrvatska. I can always go to Croatia to learn the language there. Maybe I'll give Ojibwe a try. I'm in the land, and I recall going to that class for the first time and hearing the most fascinating story about myself I'd never been told. Pre-K through university, I began learning about myself, another part of myself, and it was so fascinating. It was the beginning to the most exciting spiritual, intellectual, philosophical, ethical, linguistic journey of my life. And I went all in. I went all in whenever I had an opportunity. I used all of those things I'd learned in acquiring the French language through immersion and applied those to the Ojibwe language. So I was very fortunate at that time. It was so exciting. So I just went all in. And to make sure I had a chance to use the language, that meant teaching at any opportunity I had, studying at any opportunity, or even what we were speaking about earlier, visiting. Going and listening to elders talk, bringing them tobacco, hopefully having some tea or makade mushkiki wabu, some black medicine liquid with them, a cup of coffee. And and it's still fascinating. I still continue to learn something every day, decades later. And so that's where it began, though. That was the genesis.
Wow. It's so funny that you say you learned a story about yourself that you never heard before, because that's kind of, you know, my fluency level is not, you know, it's always a struggle because, you know, I'm not immersed in the, there's certain times of the year that I'll be immersed in the language, and you have to make a personal decision to make that a part of your life every day. But just the little bit I know, when I, you know, there's this light that like turns on for you at some moment, and you know I remember the exact moment when I'm like, holy crap, like this is totally me. And what it's kind of not, because you've been told by society your whole life that you're not really valued as much. And in a single Anishinaabe word reflects your place in the universe, and you're like, holy crap, this is so amazing. So what is that experience like? And what do you mean when you say it's a story that you've never been told? Because it's for language learners who are picking that up. What does that mean?
Well, at that time, and again, this is around even like the year 2000, going to school. Going elementary, high school, university, never really having an opportunity to hear about Indigenous people, unless if you took an Indian studies course at the time. I hadn't. And, you know, I spoke earlier before our talk, before we turned on the mics, about my mother's experience, my grandmother's experience. They went to boarding school. My grandmother went to a residential school in Canada. They also didn't have an opportunity to hear about their culture, their language, their history, their spirituality, everything, all those important parts that make up a Ijitwawan culture, way of being. And so for me to hear about that through the language became a lens, something I could really begin to investigate all of those parts of the culture. And it was, there's something very genuine and authentic and almost familiar, despite mm-hmm. having never heard it, that, I recognize that part in me. I'd never had an opportunity to talk about it or maybe express that from an indigenous perspective, but now I do, from a human experience mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And so I think for a lot of people, that story about themselves, it's a story that goes back literally thousands upon thousands of years. It's their stories that begin with, you know, our trickster, our spiritual uncle, Winnebosho, giving particular characteristics to human beings, to the landscapes that we see around us, to the animals. Mm-hmm. It is the stories of the names of plants and medicines and foods that we eat. It could even be in our Ojibwe names mm-hmm. On how someone who has had a very profound spiritual experience has brought that back and is brought it into like maybe the collective mental or the collective story of the Anishinaabeg by carrying that forward through a Wenzhouin, an Ojibwe mm-hmm. name. Mm-hmm. And so those particular things were just, they were very profound for me. And that became, again, an epic story that goes back thousands upon thousands of years, and that we are actually in, we're part of it right now. We're living it right now. And so that is, it's both very compelling, exciting, and again, profound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. It's wild because it's just a little, you know, I feel like when you study language, and of course, there is some linguistic teachings that you brought with, and how language behaves, and kind of comparing and contrasting not only to Dakota but also to English, and how English always makes me feel kind of disconnected. You know, well, it didn't until I realized how connected a language could make you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just amazing. And it's like you've always said, there's so many things that you've brought that I always remember, you know, like our ancestors thought so highly of us that they included so many teachings in the language. And the language was gifted to us, you know, by our creator. So it's our sound, but it's, you know, a lot of the cultural is in there and the worldview. So I just always remember everything you tell me.
Oh,
and I have a really bad memory too these days, but... So.
Me too, gaining.
What day is it even? But so yeah, and I'm just really, I feel like there's a whole new lease on life. Like it's a whole, not only evolving, but just like a new person. So I look at the world in a different way now because of the language and because of the teaching. So I think you walking into that Ojibwe class helped hundreds and hundreds of people just by you following that inclination to do so, because you've brought so many teachings to thousands of people so far, and they love it. Everyone loves it. Kind of awakens the people, your listeners and those who engage with you, and I see it, and it's awesome.
Miigwech, well, that was my experience too, and I thought, well, when you get into that traditional perspective of indigenous spirituality, where if I am all of my relatives and all of my relatives are me, I would ask the same thing for all of my relatives that I'd ask for myself. Mm. And it struck me one day that, I wonder if you'll have the same experience I did when I first began learning about this amazing, fascinating part about myself, mm-hmm. you know, about indigenous, or just Ojibwe, Ojibwe culture. Or indigenous culture, and to have the opportunity to share that with people, it's something that I'm grateful for on a daily basis. Apajigo and Gichi Miigwechwendam. I have gratitude on my mind. Very much so.
And that exchange, I feel like that exchange of energy, when you put that energy out and it comes back, I feel like it generates a lot of really good momentum and you feel the healing from that. So I feel like that's kind of what is you're kind of feeling is that, because I feel it too, you know, like I'll put you know, teachings out there, or I'll share things. And sometimes I won't, you know, folks maybe a few years after the fact will share with me, like, that was really, you know, like they'll remember a moment, and it was, it helps me in that moment, because it's in that moment I really needed it. So when you put it out there, it's definitely coming back. So you putting all the teachings and everything you learn out and sharing it is one of our teachings as well, and in itself, because, you know, in our community, sometimes there's that, what is that, gatekeeping and of teachings, and that's just not really who we are. And I feel like, especially now in this time, we need a lot of those original teachings. So
I couldn't agree more. And it's one of those things that, like, I didn't know that I was actually, I thought I was literally having fun doing it, because I just, it brought me joy to talk about these things. And something that my mother talked to me about was that people in her generation didn't have an opportunity in the schools and the boarding schools and the residential schools to learn about these things. And it can be hard to go back to learn them. And you may not even know where to go in your community to, but now kind of using different media, and indigenous people are really good at this. I think they really, they understood the assignment when it came to social media. Like, how do I get information, jokes, humor, interconnection and interdependence? And it's just another tool in their toolbox to use that for. But to be able to present those teachings that way and give people an opportunity to approach it on their own terms, at their own leisure, at their own discretion, and in the privacy of their own homes, that was a really cool thing for me. And because so many of those teachings, I think, because they are so ancient, they have not changed. When we get in times like we are in right now, they will work. They will continue to work. And I couldn't agree with you more. We could really use them today, in today's day and age.
Yeah, and to that point, I was thinking of questions to ask you, and one of the questions that I did have related to that was, what would be, for our listeners, just with your unique Anishinaabe worldview and all the teachings that you've learned and sat with elders, what do you think is the most important thing for us to remember as a community, and I guess as a society?
This one could be multifaceted, because I was thinking about, again, today's day and age, and a conversation I was having with my wife was, if you are inundated with the news all of the time and how horrible it can seem, it was like, for Indigenous people, this is not our first time going through this, with suppression of speech, with suppression of culture, with people who may not even agree with your right to exist. We have been through this before. So we're definitely not the first ones to have gone through this. And I think our ancestors' teachings show us how to do that. Maybe one of the most simple yet profound teachings for me that I got, were, again, talking with people who had gone through the boarding school, residential school experience, who went through government programs like termination, who went through relocation, who could possibly be arrested for speaking their language or practicing their spirituality. The people who went through that, when I watched them, something I noticed was, in the really powerful ones, those who had carried our culture despite all of that, in our language and our spirituality, was not just a lack of resentment, it was an appreciation for that traditional teaching, Minogijigad. We spoke about it before we began the talk, like, a number of things did not go the way I wanted them to this morning. It almost comical. Yet, so my perspective could be, I could be like, I didn't get what I want today as a bad day, or I can make a decision. Whenever we hear that word Mino, good, I think as human beings we are presented a decision, a choice. You can make a choice. For me, the choice is, how about I see this as a good day? despite not getting what I want, that does not make today bad. Mm-hmm. The sun is shining. I woke up. I saw people I loved. I have a chance to visit with an old friend. It is Dagwalgan. It is a beautiful fall day in Minnesota, maybe one of the most glorious seasons in all four of them here. And all of a sudden, that gives me a much better footing to deal with whatever's coming at me today, rather than being in a place of that has Baba Mindmon, anxiety. My thoughts are spinning around Gashkendmon, sadness. I feel cut off, separated from my relatives with Zegizuan. With fear, or nishkatsuin, with anger. You know, that's a very insightful teaching that they've passed down to us. Like, you are going to handle whatever is going to come at you if you're not dealing with these emotions. You're going to have these emotions throughout the day. You will feel sadness. You will feel anger. You will feel anxiety. You're going to have to make a choice with, like, menwendmoin, joy or balance in thoughts and emotions to... what am I going to lean into? I'll have felt this feeling. I can let it go through. I know every feeling has a beginning and an end. So I feel the beginning of anger or frustration. And anyone watching the news today, I mean anyone, no matter what side you are on, will probably feel this at one point. Do I want to hang on to that anger all day? Or do I want... No, that it's a feeling. It'll come and go. It rises. I watch it. I know it will pass. I let it pass, and then I choose balance. You know, despite all those things to say, my opinions about those will change. They'll change maybe by this afternoon. How about I know that and say, it's a good day. Minogijigai.
The gratitude, I think, is such a game changer. Because indeed. It almost brings tears to my eyes to, like, you're right, because it's like I have my lungs are working. I have, you know, I have a able body and the sun is shining and we're born on a Shinabe. There's so many things. And when you go down that rabbit hole, it's like you feel, I don't know. You just feel like you can conquer anything. Yeah. So that gratitude is so simple, but it shifts and it makes a complete world of difference.
And, you know, and it's different for us. The people I was speaking about, even having to do it maybe underground, like waking up in the morning and setting down tobacco, everything was geared towards that. People had been working for thousands of years to get it, to instill into children that were watching their parents and grandparents wake up daily, and despite what was happening, set down a sema, set down tobacco, and give thanks, and say miigwech. Miigwech gagishigak. Thank you for today. Thank you that the sun is shining on me, that I am breathing, that I have seen people that I know in a world filled with billions of people. Hundreds of thousands didn't wake up today, and I have this opportunity. So for me, that was one of those huge teachings that changed me as a Generation X person that was jaded, that was often cynical, that was skeptical at best of everything going around me, that literally changed the way I led my life. And that's something I'm eternally grateful for, eternally grateful for, learning about it's a good day and the good life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Indeed.
It's such a beautiful day. And I've been trying to, I don't do that every single day, but, you know, sometimes when I'll be so tired, you know, to read a book to my daughter. We usually read a book after school, but sometimes when we go to bed. So she said, you know, she says, can we just talk about what we're thankful for today? And that kind of is just reflective. So, and a lot of it is simple, you know, like yesterday. Last night I said, I'm thankful for my computer because I was able to get some work done. And I'm thankful for Benny because his presence got me outside. I probably would have been inside the whole time and we got a couple of miles in. And I'm thankful for, I think, something super random, like my oven or something. But when you start to think about those things, it's like, it's so so it changes who you are, and I feel like it heals not only yourself in that moment, but what I've heard you talk about before is it heals your bloodline. Yeah. It heals. And I want to talk about that after our break.
I'd love that.
So we will return with our conversation with Kage Gabo, James Vukelic, Miigwech.
Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. The Annie Whitehawk Love Language opens with an after-hours party October 17th. Party guests will get the first look at the exhibition celebrating the Sikonjo Lakota artist. Tickets at walkerart.org.
Support for KFAI comes from the Hook and Ladder Theater and Lounge, presenting a double album release party from Kent Burnside and Mark Cameron, Friday, October 24th. First up is Kent Burnside, grandson of blues legend R.L. Burnside. Kent is continuing his grandpa's tradition with his first commercial album release, Hill Country Blood. Then, Mark Cameron takes the stage with his latest album, Blues Factory. More information about Kent Burnside and Mark Cameron's double album release party is available at thehookmpls.com.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Jonathan Richman live on stage Thursday, October 16th. Singer-songwriter Jonathan Richman has come a long way since founding the proto-punk band Modern Lovers. But his songs have rippled through popular music, influencing some of the biggest names in pop and rock. He's touring with his latest release, Only Frozen Sky Anyway, and his appearance will feature Tommy Larkins on drums. More information about Jonathan Richman live at First Avenue is available at first-avenue.com.
All right, Buju, it is a good day, Minogejigud. We are back. Thank you for tuning back in. We are hanging out with Kage Gabo. And before the break, oh my gosh, what did I ask? I can't remember.
We were talking about interconnection and how we have a choice to, how we have the choice and also opportunity to heal those who came before us.
Yes.
And as well as those who are coming.
Tell us about that, because you, okay, so the first time you drew the diagram on, it was like the Neen, and it's in your book. So if you have James' Seven Grandfather Teachings book, you'll see kind of how that works. But the first time I saw you draw that, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then because before I was thinking seven generations was just like so far away, and then I'm like, wait. This is totally like a organism, and it's like a living, moving, self-sustaining organism when you think about your family unit and how you heal yourself and your family. So tell us a little bit more about that.
And for me, that diagram, it's, no pun intended, tied together with a word. There is this word, Ndonokobichigan. And if you look it up in the dictionary, it's translated as my great-grandparent, my ancestor, or my great-grandchild. But if you were to culturally and spiritually interpret that word, it is that being I'm inextricably interconnected to. And logically, if you look at this word, if it means both my great-grandparent and my great-grandchild, you have a period of seven generations. Seven generations that are punctuated past, present, and future by this concept of I'm inextricably interconnected to you. I'm inextricably linked to you. And my choices have the potential to affect you, and vice versa. Your choices have the potential to affect me. And when I began looking at this word, all of a sudden it became very profound. It was like, it can be really difficult to think seven generations into the future. And, I mean, we really can't comprehend it. I thought of my sons, great-grandparents, great-grandparents, seven generations ago. And, you know, in one case, he had come over from Scotland and had built one of the oldest buildings standing in Montana. It is, it's insane to think that, but it's hard to think that far ahead into the future from this fellow's perspective, from Angus MacDonald's perspective. But if you look at it past, present, and future, all of a sudden it becomes this idea of interconnection and that you're moving in part of a flow. What I thought of when I learned about Minopomatsu, when we spoke about Minogijigat, it is a good day. Minopomatsu would be the good life. A life of peace, a life of balance. If you make that choice, again with Mino, you have to make a decision with it. If you choose to lead a good life, everything you do will be positively beneficial, not just for you, but for your great-grandchildren and even their great-grandchildren. But that's kind of a linear way of thinking of it. And that's how we're all educated. Everyone probably listening to this program who's gone through the school system is taught to think in, you know, present and into the future. That word, it's interconnected with the past, though. And it's saying, ah, what's taken place in the past, if you're unaware of it, definitely has the potential to affect the way you look at the world, the way you interact, the way you relate. Maybe even making decisions if you're ignorant of what has taken place in the past, which could determine how you're going to make choices today. And I had this insight, this moment that, ah, I'm inextricably connected to these people, even if they're no longer here. And if I choose to heal myself, the only person I can choose to change is myself. You know, to try to change someone else, I think we'll all learn at one point in our life or another, it's a futile task. You know, it's a fool's errand. You can't do it, but you can change yourself. If I choose to radically change myself, if I choose to heal myself, I'm not just acting for the benefit of someone coming seven generations from now. I may have the opportunity to heal people who are no longer here. People who went through the worst that colonization has to offer, who went through loss of liberty, loss of family structure, loss of liberty, loss of spirituality. So many of them who didn't deal with that in a healthy way. That's a very human reaction to maybe be self-destructive, maybe to numb yourself to those events that are taking place. We're still living their story, though. We're not just telling it, we are living it. And if I make the opportunity, if I take that opportunity to radically change myself, I'm changing their story as well. And for me, that's very powerful. That gave me an opportunity to, you know, really seek out the good life in a way that I've noticed this about Indigenous people. You know, if we're acting for ourselves, we can be, you know, maybe even lackluster, maybe even, you know, indifferent. But the moment I've watched Indigenous people act for their relatives, for the benefit of their relatives, I've watched them do amazing, heroic, like, superpower, superpower choices that I'm always floored and amazed by. So the moment we're acting for people that, you know, it's not just self-centered, we're acting for our relatives, we have the opportunity to really, you know, to really create amazing change. Not just for ourselves, but our relatives.
It's so powerful, and it's such a huge reason why I am actively trying to heal myself. And, you know, like the traumas that my grandma and my mom or my great-grandma had experienced, I don't need to know every detail of that. But what I can do is really take care of myself and heal myself and heal my mind in a way where I can look forward to the future in such a good way. And it's so powerful that way, because it's like, you know, healing's great and it's good for us, but when you think of yourself in the larger scheme of everything as a living organism and as, you know, a piece of, a essential piece, a vital piece of the universe, then your healing is super profound. So the way you present that is, I'm not trying to get, I'll probably cry in the car. I say that all the time on here. I get super, super emotional. But it's so profound because I think of, you know, when you're going through hard times and you're doing whatever you need to do to keep going, to hear that is kind of like a validation from the universe and from our ancestors that we're on the right path. So those teachings that you bring forward really help to validate a lot of us who are just out here struggling. So thank you for bringing that to light.
Oh, Miigwech, they radically changed me too. They radically changed me when I realized, we all are. We're all doing intergenerational work. And all of a sudden I discovered, came back to a way that had worked for so long. A way of Minobumatsu and the good life, life of peace, a life of balance within myself. How to navigate those things that are taking place, today or in our everyday life. And really return to that ceremony of everyday life rather than, kind of sludging through it.
Right. And yeah, I like that because it's like we need to celebrate. Like I'm really over like survival because I want to get past that. I want to get past to, a place where we're celebrating. We're actually noticing the things around us that are blessings or thriving, like creating or because if you're sitting down to like do some moccasins, your needs are met. You're at this place where you can actually create. So I want to get past the survival as a single mom, and I know it's hard. But these teachings will bring us to that that thriving. So I'm excited to thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that is part of Minobumatsuan. It is literally, thriving. It's leaning into it.
Living your best life is what my daughter says.
I love that.
The little one. Look at Benny. He's living his best life. So you've been on many adventures, and I see you taking pictures. And I'm like, man, that looks so cool. That looks so fun. So a lot of your work has brought you to many different communities and different sacred sites, and you've had the opportunity to see and to visit and see how other communities kind of just go about their gatherings and things. So what experiences this far have you had that's really notable that's kind of shifted in you along your path? Because like you said, it's not just a one-way thing. Like, what has been poured into your cup along this journey?
I thought of that because it's one of those questions that I'm so blessed and fortunate. I've had the opportunity to travel, to go all over Anishinaabe Wakink, Indian land, Ojibwe land, to go to so many different communities, and to be asked, well, which one was your favorite? It's a hard one because they all are. They all are. I have learned something at every one. But so I came up with, there's one that was really profound for me on a personal level. And then every other one was just as awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an opportunity to travel to Mikanok Wajawing, Turtle Mountain. That's my grandmother's reservation. And I had a chance to do a seven generations and seven grandfather teachings talk. And I was generously brought out there by Madame Gourneau and the Taproot Grant. I had a chance to bring my books. And again, I didn't know how I would be received, because I'm going there talking about traditional teachings through the lens of language. And we went to it was at the Skydancer Casino, and I gave a talk that night, and I was floored because, like, the whole casino ballroom filled up with people. Wow. For standing room only, and there were vendors came out, community members were there, tribal leadership was there, educator, but the whole place. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But do you remember some of our language tables where we'd have one or two people? And yes, all of a sudden I'm at a community which, I'm related to, but I haven't lived there. And it filled up, and I was just like, oh my gosh. That at my core had been, it really felt like a homecoming for me. And Madame Gourneau, the one who introduced me, Deborah Gourneau, said, you know, let's welcome him back home. He's one of our relatives. And so at that point, I had made a decision that I would indeed go and get enrolled at Turtle Mountain. So to make that home, I mean, because that's what it was. It felt like a homecoming. And I'm so grateful for that one. Because, again, that had chose to say, all right, I will be, I'll be part of this community. And thank you for your warm welcome.
I love that.
That was, I'm trying to not get choked up now, too, thinking about that. Because there's something different when you go home after so many people in the diaspora, you know, who are, maybe have had people who moved away from their community. But to be able to come home to that. And to have such a warm welcome and reception was, for me, one of the highlights in my trip.
I love my
travels.
I could just picture. I can't imagine how many people would fit in that space. I've never been to that location, but I imagine there's probably hundreds in there. Probably. It's huge.
And that's it. And people kept coming. And, you know, I love to visit with people. And I walk around and then more were coming and more were coming. So I had a chance to do a book signing there and made sure I got a chance to talk to everyone and sign a book for everyone. And it was really, really cool. Just mind blowing.
I love that. And Turtle Mountain are Red Lakers. So let's go to Red Lake too, and do the same thing.
Red Lake's always been very kind to me. That was another one where I had a chance to speak at the college, and all of a sudden the auditorium, you know, that huge area filled up, and I looked out and there was beautiful Red Lake and this amazing college, and I was just like, you guys were so kind and generous and nurturing at that time, because I hadn't put out the book yet, and I was just traveling and talking about, you know, again, the grandfather teachings, the sacred laws, and our interconnection of seven generations. And Red Lake Nation College, Ogama, Dan King were all so generous with their time. And the late Bill May was really generous with that.
Love that. And that's how it goes to show that so many of us are, you know, like a lot of it is inside of us. Our spirits are awakened by the things that you are sharing. And it just goes to show that we're like, it's helping, and it's helping to, you know, we need that. And we crave those teachings and that, because it's something that's been withheld, I feel like, suppressed from us. So, and you bring that, so I think we need it. And you, and the way that you present it, not everybody can present it in that way, where it's very respectful. There's, you know, you, and you're so generous with it, and it's not, you know, I've been around the community and seen where wisdom is not always shared, and so we'll just stop at that. But okay, so one of my favorite books that I read with my daughter is Wisdom Weavers, and I have a signed copy from you. And I was so excited because I have both Seven Grandfather Teachings, and then I also have the Wisdom Weavers. So it's like I have a book for myself, and then Zeguan has a book for her. And now, so we've always had like this gigantic dream catcher above our bed. I've had it for years, and I got it from an older couple from Red Lake years and years ago. It was huge, but so that's the one dream catcher that we do have. And when I started reading that book to Zeguan, she like notices it, and like, you know, like how people have it in their cars. They're like, hey, there goes a dream catcher. So how important, and like how did you come up on like presenting a children's book, because that's important too, and to get all the generational cover all the generations.
It began. I was someone from Quarto Books reached out because they had seen my social media stuff and my Instagram, and was like, "Well, would you ever consider writing a children's book?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a try. I'll definitely give it a try." And at the time, I was trying to come up with something with, and they were also very enthusiastic and encouraging language use in the book. So that was one of the big ones that I was like, okay, if I can share the language, Yeah, that inspires me to do it. I wasn't inspired really to write a children's book, but to be able to share the language in any way throughout any media. I was excited about that. And so as I was thinking about it, I was like, all right, the things I love speaking about, like the grandfather teachings in the language. And then coming up with the story kind of happened from 2020. Mm-hmm. Everything had shut down. This was a dark time for a lot of people. At the same time, I was fortunate. I had a chance to spend with my 5-year-old son at the time. And so I knew at that time, all right, I'm going to look back at this time and just feel gratitude that I have had these moments to share with Jack. And it's based on a true story. It's like, all right, you're coming with Dad to harvest red willow today for my tobacco, for my Asema. And with that, I'll show you how to make a dream catcher. Again, in second grade, he wouldn't have the dream catcher unit in class. And I had this proud Ojibwe moment where he came home and was like, Dad, do we have a dream catcher? And I'm like, Jack, come downstairs. You know, and I got him my dream catcher and showed him the dream catcher I made for him before he was born. And again, that was an intergenerational thing. I learned how to make dream catchers in university. I was teaching at an Ojibwe immersion camp, mm-hmm. and someone there taught me how to make one, and I used that teaching to make Jack's dream catcher. And I thought, all right, this is important because it's an Ojibwe tradition. Often it is kind of, I think, maybe you've had this, well, we used to joke about it in mm-hmm. Indian Ed. The dream catcher is kind of pan-Indian nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind that because it's a beautiful symbol. But at the same time, I was like, how can I get in to publish text, the Ojibwe name for this, and share with people that, that emblem you're using or that symbol, that's an Ojibwe one. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, I learned Iji'un in university, a talisman, a dream catcher. And I wanted to share that with people. So I thought I would share a day in the life with Jack and Dad, the Jack and Dad show. I was like, if someone, they got an amazing illustrator to kind of document that crazy, weird time in everyone's mm-hmm. life. And yet now we'll be able to revisit that years later. And that with the innovation of the QR codes to be able to hear the language. Because if I were reading this in Oneida, in Lakota, in, even Cree, there are probably words in there I couldn't pronounce. Mm-hmm. But to use the QR code and, you know, kind of use the technology with your children, with your family, and hear the words pronounced, I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is innovative. I want to lean into this.
That's awesome. I actually have not used the QR code just because I just pronounce, and we're laying in bed and it's...
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, no more phones. But is it your voice when you scan the QR code?
It is.
Nice.
I set up in the most quiet room of the house and recorded them all, and yeah, and now they're all linked up.
Awesome. So. And there's a lot of vocabulary words at the end, and I really enjoy that because, of course, Ziguan. So I have a 5-year-old now, and she's growing, but she's also like native culture and language is something that she has to get from me. And she just had her first meeting yesterday with Indian education. So now there's a little bit being introduced. And also, a shout out to Tiwahe Foundation. I'm part of their Oyate Leadership Network, this cohort. And they offer childcare. So the Wichoye Nanda Gikendan team brings their stuff and their curriculum. And they have, she calls it her Ojibwe school.
Awesome. That is awesome.
So there's, even though we're kind of, you know, not at like Anishinaabe Academy or Bidote or, you know, immersion, we're trying to consistently keep up with the traditional teachings and the language as much as possible.
An awesome shout out there, too. Former grant recipient of Tuahe, amazing native philanthropic organization, and former employee of Wichoye Nanda Kikendan, which is where we probably first met at Anishinaabe Academy. Well,
yeah.
When we not first met, but when we met again after the Tilly's Beans language table.
Yeah, they. I mean, with the immersion, it's ideal for me. Like, I would love to have her in immersion, but I'll just have to do what I can with what I got, you know. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that we learned at Indian Ed is helping me to influence and help her learn too. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And like the book, Wisdom Weavers, that was just a contribution to, you know, just another thing that parents can help hopefully share with their children or with their families. And that was the main goal with that one.
I love it. And there's so many bilingual resources now for kids. You know, it's grown exponentially since, you know, Bree was little and Negosis, and now it's just available at regular mainstream stores. And I'm like, look, there's a whole Ojibwe section. So
isn't that inspiring to see? When I think of the work that we used to do at Indian Education and then the work that like our mentors, like Niowe'e, my namesake, Ida Downwind, has done. It's like I've heard that phrase, to plant a tree under whose shade you know you'll never stand. And to see the work that people like you and Ida have done in our community, to see that there are so many more resources at a time when we remember very vividly there weren't there.
Right.
To see the actions and decisions of so many people in our community for that, I love that.
Yeah. Yes. So cool. Is there, oh my gosh, I don't even know. Do you have any questions for me? I'm like,
when can I come back?
We should do a quarterly show.
I'd love that. I'd love it. It's so good to visit with you.
I know. I feel like an hour is not enough at all. So, but yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm always, sometimes it goes by really fast. So I don't have I'm my own assistant. So, like this week this was such a great surprise, and but sometimes I'll come in here by myself, and just a lot of the times when I'm by myself, James, I will play a lot of your videos.
Oh.
I'm like, that's James. And one time I brought a book, you know, I think more than once I brought your books in and read from them because they're so inspiring. So it's really cool to actually have the person who wrote and deliver it the way that it should be delivered.
Oh, no, it is so good to be here. And I hear you. Having made so much content, it is often me and my phone, and you never know who you're speaking to.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun, but I get it. Yes. I totally get it.
Do you do, like, lives and are like, live TikToks or, like, where people can comment?
I'm getting back into it, so I'm kind of looking at, I did 6 years of Ojibwe Word of the Day Live on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. And so I'm revisiting some of those because now they have been being filtered out of Facebook as they're kind of just changing their format. And so to make sure that I can get those back out there. And then the live aspect too. So I've started doing lives on TikTok again in the morning. My wife just challenged me. She's had so many brilliant ideas for me. That was another one. Just like, go down and talk to people. I'm like, okay, I will. I'll have a cup of coffee and chat. So I really like the lives as well.
Yeah, I think that's... So TikTok, I'm trying to like generate a little bit of stuff on TikTok. But I think the lives are really cool. I mean, I know how it is when I participate on a live. So it's really engaging. So you can actually talk to people and they're like, hey, that's a shout out. And
totally.
So, yeah.
And that's a change from what I had been doing. You know, you could see the comments on Facebook, but now it's the TikTok ones are a lot more interactive, which I love.
Yeah.
To visit.
And there's so many cool creators on there, especially with language and language and stuff. And it's so cool to see people have different aspects and delivering and like the style and the strategy that they bring. It's really cool. To see who are your favorite influencers right now?
Let's see here. It's hard to come up with names because I have seen like this explosion of words of the day in so many different ones. So I know Le Coudray Ojibwe College is doing some really cool, like immersive Ojibwe learning TikToks in there, but I'm seeing them from other nations as well. Eastern Ojibwe, people from like the Ontario in Manitoba, northern Manitoba. So all of those guys doing their Ojibwe words of the day. What a cool opportunity to hear, at least have a chance to hear the language, mm-hmm. to be by it. Mm-hmm. on a daily basis. And then I've been learning some Oneida as well and some Mohawk, which I really love. And I'm like, I wouldn't have had an opportunity to do this years ago. Right. You know, to use the technology the right way,
yeah.
for the right purposes, right. it can be very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things I've tried to do.